Welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Shirai. With me, Izan and Kogi. Izan's from Chindana, which is the Cultural Economy Development Agency, and Kogi is with Good Kids Malaysia. Services kids in PPR flats, low-cost housing flats, bringing art therapy and working with kids for self-esteem and empowerment. I think that was how you explained it to me. Very interesting, because the issue of social enterprise, and Izan, you had said that this is something that's quite unusual in the art scene, right? The idea that an organization might mix its model for funding in order to become self-sufficient potentially. Yes. I mean, the future, Izan, especially if this is going to be a long, deep recession, there's going to be much less money around. The state's already, we have problems with the price of crude and such. How can artists adapt? Should they be looking at models like the ones that are run by Good Kids Malaysia, social enterprise, in order to do the kind of work they want to do?
Well, I think a lot of the arts organizations or individuals have different jobs. It's quite normal for one to have a day job and evening only practice arts. That's a module that we've all traditionally been, we're quite accustomed to that. But there are models, other models as well, where the organization sustains itself from curating festivals, curating talks, and a lot of the income comes from that, getting their artists into festivals, and then dorang berkarya, only create their work. Now that most live events tak ada, that has been quite challenging for them, and some of them have taken other jobs like jual kuih ataupun grab driving, as a way to sustain at the moment. Now is the best time to reflect on what sort of or what options do they have, whether they want to pivot to other areas. But social enterprise is obviously one option as well. There are other options where they can sort of partner with different organizations, especially animation, which is booming right now during COVID period. Everyone's going online to watch animation, Agent Ali, Womo Boy. We have been trying to partner our communities with this different sector so that the arts and cultures and the stories and music from our scene can be translated onto that platform as well.
Right. And that's a very difficult question and a conversation, because there are all these variations. I mean, Kogi, I understand that you are a classical veena player, you're a classical music proponent, and you're also a telecommunications engineer. So very interesting. I mean, do you talk to people in the creative industries and people doing the kind of work that you're doing? Do you think of really about the future, what the pandemic, what the recession, and just the changing nature of work and what people will want to fund or be part of? What are you thinking the future might bring for projects like yours?
Okay, so if you ask me, based on the experience, we've been running this since 2015, and sustaining in the arts industry is really not easy. That is the reason why we went into corporate training. Mind Movers Academy was established, because we tried just doing annual shows and doing gigs, bucket drum gigs for corporates. It was not enough to sustain. So anyone who's going to go into this field, you have to think about financial sustainability first.
Yes.
And then you think about how you can impact the community, how you can create your beneficiary program. Otherwise, it's going to be a tough ride. We had the tough ride. If we didn't have enough financial assistance from government organizations like Chandana Magic and also other corporate foundations who are supporting us, we would be really struggling. Yeah, so for in the future, I would really strongly suggest those who want to go into this area, look into financial sustainability first, create your business opportunity. How are you going to generate your revenue? And how much do you need? Do the projection, and then you look into the beneficiary program.
Yeah. Right, okay, very interesting. Izan, I know you talk to people in government a lot, and the creative industries was supposed to be a generator of an economic proposition there. Yeah. It wasn't just for the love of the arts, right? Jobs and all the ecosystem that was supposed to be created. The premise of that, has that been challenged significantly by the pandemic? And then if that's the case, then where next with this idea of the creative industries?
Absolutely. When Chandana was mooted, we were trying to address a gap where we would develop and promote cultural economy, But cultural economy, of course, in general parameters would mean jobs, export, revenue, GDP, percentages of this and that. Slowly, we shifted our narrative to talk about how we contribute to the sustainability of the artists first, before talking about jobs and revenue. And I think the yardstick for us is to ensure that the communities can continue doing their work with some funding from us. And that's a story we're telling now internally to our communities. Mm. I think with the other government agencies, their parameters may be different. It may be from a social perspective, and a lot of arts councils around the world have changed their parameters from economics to social impact. Mm. We haven't moved towards that as yet, but we've changed our narrative slightly. It is still somewhat economic, but it's more sustaining, mm-hmm. contributing to your sustainability as an artist.
Right. There's also this other thing, the impact of closed borders on tourism and mass tourism, and many of the arts kind of fall under tourism. You know, city branding, creating of festivals that are global and bringing people in, and so on and so forth. Where do you think, Izan, that's going to go? I mean, it looks pretty grim.
It looks pretty grim because the borders are closed and we don't know when that's going to open. But at the moment, it's an opportunity for us to engage the locals first. Mm. Anything at all, start from home.
Absolutely. Right? I think you said it all. Okay. Last word for you, Kogi. What would you like, people to know about the work of Good Kids Malaysia, now supported by Cendana and its arts organization funding program? How can people kind of plug into that or aid you or support the work that you do?
They can always visit our website, goodkids.com.my. And we are now focusing on setting up an exhibition next year. So those who are interested in, being part of that or supporting us in many ways, the best thing is come and witness the exhibition. You know, that's what we most of us need. Yes, in terms of funds, we are covered. Yeah, thank God for that. And what we need is for the people to come and see the work that we are doing. And people need to change their mindset. You know, a lot of them have a mindset that, locally created art might not be that great. So that mindset shift is really important. We don't want to just promote our workers. Oh, look at this, cute kids doing some work in a PPR. It's not that. It's of good value. You know, the art that is produced is of good value. You don't just come and watch that because you have, soft spot.
Sympathy.
No.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah. Well said. Thank you very much, both of you, for being on the show. I've been speaking to Koglavani Munyandi, the director of Good Kids Malaysia, and also Izan Satrina Mohamad Salahuddin, founding CEO of the Cultural Economy Development Agency of Cendana. This is Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutan, only for Astro Awani.